Hello, good evening. Welcome to our show, Mysteries of the Universe, on the Sacred Embers Network and Blog Talk. Tonight's show, we're going to discuss ghosts, spirit activities, and encounters. I'm Tommy Kelso, and then my co-host is Catherine Peoples. Also tonight, we'll have James Carr, conceptual artist. He's going to discuss his experiences, including those in historic buildings and in a 200-year-old tavern. So let's talk about what are ghosts. The word ghost originates from gas, which means a disembodied spirit or soul. In 1901, Dr. Duncan McDouglas, he conducted an experiment trying to determine whether the body loses weight when the soul passes on. So what he determined was the weight of the soul was 21 grams. And in 1993, the Skoll experiment, which was a group of intellectuals, college, they had a five-year experiment using different types of energy to produce tangible objects from the spirit world. They were able to show how they interacted with the spirit world. And then tonight we're also going to discuss basically different types of hauntings and types of energies. How you doing, Catherine?
Yeah. Hi, Tommy. How are you tonight?
Good, thanks.
This is a very exciting topic, I think, for many of the listeners. And just going through what is a ghost, right? I think that description is scary, but your description was right on. The soul, simply put, a soul or spirit of one from, you know, the other side, someone who has passed on. And that could be an animal, it could be a person. There are different types of ghosts. You want to go there? What types of different ghosts there are?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about residual hauntings. You know, like, for example, the Battle of Gettysburg. There's so many recordings of people out there when they're taking pictures and they're seeing the actual spirits out there that are out there still fighting a battle.
Right, right. That is so intriguing to watch videos like that. I've never personally have seen that, but I will tell you my niece goes to Gettysburg and she has plenty of stories. There is different, stories that I have heard. A place called VMI, Virginia Military Institute, they have the grave sites of the, you know, some of the soldiers that were killed the first year of the Civil War, and they're right there on the property. And the one actually had lost his watch. And so there's many, 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 witnesses who have actually seen this ghost, the soldier looking at his watch. And I always thought that was very intriguing, but there's so many stories. It's overwhelming.
Sure. You can see, hear, and smell, but, you know, these spirits, these residual hauntings, actually, they're not even spirits. It's more of an imprint on energy, like a Memorex tape or something that they kind of leave an impression in time, so you really don't interact. They're kind of doing the same thing over and over, maybe, without a consciousness. That's why I'd love to go to Gettysburg and to check that out. There's just so much energy, in that time there was so much passion, so much energy that left these kind of emotions, these strong emotions that imprinted in time there.
So it's the energy and like the residual energy, is that what you're talking about?
Right, residual energy, residual hauntings, sure.
Right. So there was a story about where you get onto the plane, you know, that terminal, and in the video you saw all of these people that were going to the terminal, and they looked full body, they didn't look like spirits whatsoever. But it was the residual energy that I was told that's what we were seeing of people who had died in plane crashes or had passed on. Or it was just they just were going, just back and forth without going anywhere. That was really interesting to me because that's where I first really heard like what residual energy was. So even the spirit itself, wasn't there. It was just the energy that was left behind from the people who had crossed over. This is very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there are different types of ghosts. And, you know, just to go over just a few that, you know, are interesting to me, there's that, you know, the interactive ghosts are mm-hmm. pretty much just the ones I feel like most people know. They're the ones that, you know, deceased loved ones who, you know, have passed on, and they can be visible to some who are clairvoyant. You know, these spirits can speak, they can make noises, they can touch you, so you can actually feel them. Many of them, they'll mm-hmm. emit odors such as, you know, a perfume or some, you know, a man maybe who smoked a cigar, you can smell that, you know, cigar smoke. But these are the ghosts and spirits that, for the most part, their personalities, they remain the same and intact, just like they were on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And many times they come back when they hurt or help in some way. And I do have an example of one that was really interesting. It was my birthday one year, and I was at work, and I had a report due, and it was due, like, you know, the next morning, first thing, and I just wasn't done. And so I'm literally in my office, like at midnight, by myself on my birthday. So just to set the scene here, I have no windows in my office. There's no fans. There's nobody in the office. Anyway, but all of a sudden, I felt this gust of wind blow by me to the point where my hair actually moved. And also, a couple of the pieces of paper that were on my desk flew off my desk. So, you know, it was clear to me I wasn't alone, but I wasn't certain who it was that was with me until I did smell my grandma's perfume. So that brought mm-hmm. me a lot of comfort. At that point, I realized that she wanted me to know that I wasn't alone on my birthday, and it was actually a very, very beautiful moment that I mm-hmm. will never forget.
That was more of an intelligent interaction, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember that movie Poltergeist? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Ew. No, that's okay. I do.
Yeah, I remember I was, I don't know, in the early 80s, 82, something like that. So I was a kid. We went to the movie theater, The Walk-In, we called it. And I saw that. That was pretty scary. But now that I understand what poltergeists are, you know, it's a little different. You know, poltergeists are like an energy created from a prepubescent teen, you know, that energy, and, you know, things can be hurled across the room. But there's not really any kind of intelligent presence behind that. You know, closing doors, rearranging objects in the room, often different odors. Yeah, and it usually kind of goes away after a period of time.
They can cause harm, or they're just
it's everything as we know is energy, and you know this is an energy created, mm-hmm. for example, from you know children, these prepubescents, they have a lot of you know emotions that are kind of turned into this kind of energy that creates a kind of reaction, you know, in time, and that's how we get these poltergeists. So it's not really an intelligence or a consciousness; it's just kind of there, and it typically goes away after a while.
Right. So another
one I find.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. You know, the ones I find most interesting are the intelligent hauntings. You know, like you said, with your not hauntings, but you know, when we get visitations from loved ones. You know, like you said, your grandma's perfume. Those are interesting.
Right. Those are profound because.
Yeah.
Feel a gust of wind come like that, where it literally, you know, blows papers off the table, where there's no windows, or there's, and yeah, it was. Thank goodness I felt her, but mm-hmm. it could have been a scare, but it was, and it was the most beautiful experience ever. But there are other types of, which are mm-hmm. the free floating. Before I actually saw one, I didn't even know what one was. And mm-hmm. but they are free floating, mostly translucent as far as I know, balls of light, and they're this energy from this world, and you know they can move around, they flash different colors, they lots of time.
Yeah, sometimes you can see the faces in them even.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They come and come in a variety of shapes and sizes and colors, and so I have an example of this too, where again I did not know what an orb was at the time, but it was in the evening, and I was just disappointed, and you know, just disappointed from events of that day, where I thought something had happened, and there was nothing else I could have done to it didn't happen, and whatever. So I was just really disappointed, and I was on the phone with someone, just sitting there, just you know, talking, and all of a sudden, directly above my head was this sparkling ball of light. It was it was beautiful. It was shimmering so intensely, like to say, actually, look at me. And when I looked at it, I was thinking, what the heck am I looking at? Because again, you see something for the first time, you know, it's startling. And so not knowing what an orb was, like I said, at the time, I hung up with a person and I called my sister. And then all of a sudden, this sparkling light, because it got my attention, just turned into this translucent, just white light, ball of light. And then it started to move around. And then there were two all over. And so I looked for every explanation that I could define it, like a scientific, like you know, where's the proof, what's happening? And there was none. So I called my sister and I said, I can't believe like what's happening, like what is happening? And she's like, it's probably, she said it was probably, you know, our grandmother. And the second orb that was her sister, who she was very, very close with, and so was I. But anyway, I was, you know, pretty excitable at that time. And I was like, oh my gosh, Kristen, my sister said, look, I said, I'm going to hang up the cell, which is what I was on. I said, I'm going to call you from the house phone, and then I'm going to take a video of these orbs. You know, I didn't even know what they were called, you know, these balls of light. And the honestly, the second I went to try to videotape, my cell phone battery died, and there, it was charged. So
yeah, they like to use up the energy for sure.
Yes. But again, you know, like I wasn't scared. I was just, what's a good word? I was just, you know, in a state of
startled.
What is happening?
Yeah.
But you know, the thing is, there wasn't intuitively, like I didn't feel anything bad. It was just, it was all good. It was just startling, and it was something again that I learned about. And I'm positive, like I feel very, very strongly that it was my grandmother and her sister and my aunt that were just, again, coming to comfort me because I was alone and you know, with my thoughts, that, you know, just to say, look, we're here, and we love you, and it was all good. So,
you know, my wife was always concerned because of, you know, what I do. There's, you know, there's a lot of spirits around, a lot of energies around. Just the other night, two nights ago, actually, my daughter, you know, she's 2.5. She's also very sensitive. She kept saying that there's something in the room. And my wife, she went in there and she says, I don't feel anything. So I went in there and she was pointing to the corner. She was explaining, had big eyes. So right now I went in the corner, my arm lit up, you know, goosebumps, and I felt it and I could feel the energy there. So, I just told her, listen, you know, it's, you know, you're scaring her a bit. But, you know, I don't really allow anything negative in my house. I always try to create good energy. And we haven't had any problems that way, but there's a ton of spirits that come through, ETs that come through. I mean, in general, they're everywhere, everyways. It's just whether you're sensitive to it or not, or whether you're aware. And, you know, I love interacting with the other side, and, you know, so I find it pretty amazing. Real quick, you know, there was a story of a story that's been out for a while, but there was a family who would see this little girl. You know, the father, he tried to hide it from the kids. One day the kid saw the little girl and said, who are you? So eventually they did some work on the house. They opened the wall up and they found bones. They called the police. You know, the bones were over 100 years old. So the family invested in a little casket and they had a little funeral and they never saw her again. So you know, that's a perfect example of, you know, interacting and, you know, she was able to be put to rest and that was it. But, you know, that was her house. So, you know, we're just kind of multidimensional beings having this human experience. So.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Right on with that one. Well, what about, you know, other than what we just talked about, how else do you feel like this communicates?
So, yeah, there's so many different ways. You know, I find these ghost shows kind of funny that it's pretty basic. You know, they have their different devices and they're you know, this is there, that's there. And I think a lot of it is kind of made up. But a lot of it, but, you know, then there's places that are actually, they have presence there. But, you know, it seems that, you know, when you watch a show, for example, everything's, even a reality show, it's kind of scripted. You know, I don't always believe in that. The newest technology, which is the ITC technology, and they have these spirit boxes. There's a guy on YouTube that he's also a medium. In his spirit box, he's able to take, for example, he'll take a little piece of, like, maybe Michael Jackson or whoever, and he'll use a piece of their voice from before, flips it backwards, and then in 3-second increments, they're able to communicate. So they're able to use that energy and actually, you know, respond, you know, live to his questions. It's pretty amazing stuff. Yeah, I think I shared that with you, right?
Yeah, that was intriguing.
You know, this is technology. I still try to be, you know, being a medium, I still try to be a little bit skeptic, but you don't want to just believe everything you're told. But this technology, you know, it's kind of hard to fake it, you know.
Right.
So I think it's pretty amazing.
I think that, you know, electrical devices, they try to communicate through. That's in my experience, where lights will flick or will mess with the radio, TV, like any cell phone, like anything that is electrical, I've experienced with, you know, spirits.
You know, I think when a person's not capable of communicating, you know, most everyone has a capacity to be able to connect on their own. But, you know, if you don't have that, you could definitely use these tools, ITC technology or many different avenues, spirit remote, you know, writing. There's a lot of different ways. So our buddy James here is calling in. I'm sorry. What was that?
Well, I was just going to give an example real quick.
Sure.
So just to give an example of the electrical devices, I was in the room sleep, like literally asleep one night, and I woke up feeling this like overwhelming presence. And I was, it did scare me to the point where, because it was just pitch black in the room and
it didn't feel negative.
It didn't feel negative, but it's still a overwhelming feeling at times, even to this day for me, when I don't know, you know, when I just didn't know who it is. So, at that point, no, it wasn't. I didn't feel there was a negative energy. I just felt this overwhelming energy, and I felt that it was back to back with me, and I just mustered up like the courage to ask for a sign, so that, and you know, that spirit was there, and my cell phone was clear across the room, charging. Mm-hmm. And the exact moment that immediately after I asked for a sign, my cell phone lit up all by itself.
That's pretty cool.
And then another one is temperature changes. I don't know if you've experienced that, but
absolutely.
That is pretty, you know, wild that you could be, you know, just there and
big fluctuations.
You know, it was like 73 degrees out, and I'm just talking, and it was actually in the same room. It was like a hot spot in the south. But anyway, in this room, all of a sudden, like colder and colder and colder as I'm talking on the phone, and to the point where it's hard to believe but true, my hands were freezing, like they were put in ice. And at that point, it was frozen. It was hard to. I literally was like, "Somebody's here," and I just and I didn't have time to ask who it was. I just got, I just left.
Yeah, well, for being on the West Coast, I've always been interested on the East Coast because you guys have so many old buildings out there, and I always want to check those out. I want to bring in James right now. James has been holding for a little bit.
Okay,
and. I'm going to bring him on right now.
Okay.
Hello, James.
Hey, how are you, Tony?
Hey, thanks, buddy. Thanks for calling in. Sorry you were waiting for a little bit. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing? I've got my candles burning. I've got this great candle, and it has a wooden wick. So it sounds like a crackling, like a fireplace, but it's only a candle, of course. So it's really cool. And so, I'm all ready, and... it's a really interesting topic. It's funny because Kathy was just relating this story about the orbs. And that is exactly my first experience with ghosts. Mm-hmm. Because you talk about the East Coast, okay. I went to a college university that was a very, very old university. It was one of the oldest in the country. Founded in 1740, something like that, 1746, called Washington and Lee in Western Virginia. Mm-hmm. And, we're just goofy, not goofy, but crazy freshmen in a dormitory one day. And I'm looking out the window, and all of a sudden, I see this orb. I see this, like, bluish, kind of beautiful orb light up right outside the window. And then a moment later, I saw another one, and it was kind of more of a pinkish color. And then, I'm there like, hey, buddy, come on, you got to see this, guys. And, of course, we were doing what college kids would do at that time. And so they all come running over there, and just behind the dormitory, I hadn't even realized this was the case. There was an old cemetery, and we're looking out, like three of us, looking out this window that was at the end of the hallway, and that faced onto the cemetery, and all of a sudden we're seeing orbs like way over to the left, 50 feet over there, and then 50 feet over to the right. And we're like, freaking out. What in the world could this possibly be? Now, at that time, and I'm getting up there in age, so at that time, the prevalent thinking is it's some kind of electrical phenomenon or who knows. I mean, I grew up in a household where my dad would say, and my dad was a great guy, but he would say, well, there's no such thing as ghosts. Well, from the very beginning, I kind of questioned that. But, all these years since I was in college, I've wondered what they were. And, in fact, a group of us went to see this one professor who was a professor of comparative religion. And he had the most amazing, amazing spiritual and psychic stories to tell. But he didn't really relate too much to it. As a matter of fact, I think I actually went to a science professor to ask what he thought it might be. And over the years, I never did really determine it to be a ghost. I just thought it was something phenomenal. So you really enlightened me tonight, Catherine. and it was just fascinating. It was so interesting. And, my experiences with ghosts, I mean, I haven't really seen the ectoplasmic form. I've never really seen that. But like you, Tommy, I mean, I absolutely know when I'm in the presence of a spirit.
Sure.
And, you know, it's happened many, many times. The thing about ghosts, you know, I have a background in English. I have a master's degree in English, too. So words really relate to me. So I went in and I looked up how many different synonyms there were for ghosts. Poltergeist, sprite, incubus. I mean, you know, there must be 50 different words for it. So that immediately tells me this phenomenon is definitely out there. And in fact, you know, until the 20th century, I mean, nobody even gave a second thought about it. You know, that was an absolutely known fact. And, of course, that's why we always use the term RIP, rest in peace. I didn't quite get that when I was growing up. I was thinking, well, what do you mean rest in peace? You know, you're dead, you know. But now it fully relates to me. But and the thing about most of the ghosts or spirits, and they're kind of the same thing. Spirits maybe are a little bit more elevated. Ghosts are closer to the terrestrial world. They want to be relating to the terrestrial world. They either have had some sort of traumatic event that kept them there, and they keep wanting to karmically, you know, rest it, get it somehow solved, that part of their karma. And there's other ones, like, again, Kathy, you were saying, you know, loved ones. I mean, they want to be here. They want to guide us. They want us to know that their love is still here. So, you know, I just think in general, I mean, the general situation with ghosts is they're not particularly evil, but that's not to say that there couldn't be evil ones. There could definitely be that.
But I agree with that.
The vast majority are mischievous. They kind of like to play little games with you, but they're not trying to hurt you. They're just trying to have some fun, you know?
What about the incubus you just mentioned? What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, I think there's the incubus and the succubus.
And the succubus.
And one of them, I believe the, and I don't know for sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, might be succubus, something like that, but I think one is a female spirit, and the incubus, I believe, is the male spirit.
Right.
The
incubus is the male spirit, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a situation like that. I just think, you know, that might be bordering towards obsession, you know, or it might be that they left the world and they weren't in a highly elevated place. You know, so it's going to be harder for them in purgatory, you know, to get.
You know, I also think this could be ET related too. When it comes to situations like this, sexual, ET related.
So, to explain what an incubus is, would be what? Just a spirit trying to have a sexual encounter?
You know, in mythological form, it's like a demon in male form. And they lie upon sleeping women to engage in sexual activity. And then a succubus is the same thing, but in female form.
Right. But I've actually had experiences with that. And I left the light on for a very long time. But until it got, you know, to the point where I was actually fighting with this thing. But, I could feel, because I'm very, just very, very, very sensitive. And I could feel the presence before it actually hit, you know. And so... it's like you could feel this presence just leaning on my body, just like laying on my body, where my chest, you know, was kind of kicking in. And so right away I have, you know, my protection is just like, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave. Because at that point I knew that I was dealing with something that wasn't all that great, and I'm literally my
the energy
in the
feels
air.
Scary.
It did feel scary, and The first time it happened, I was very scared. But again, I'm very spiritual, and I, you know, my faith is very strong. And so every time I use the word God or the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave, then it left. And it happened a few times until the point where I started to actually protect myself more, and, you know, I learned more of the spiritual practices. And I haven't been bothered by one in a very long time. But at that time, it was a scary experience. I said, I left the light for probably a couple of years. Like, in the room, like, I didn't want to be in complete darkness. But now I'm fine.
Well, the reason I asked if it was just the reason I asked if it was you could feel the energy, obviously, if it's something more negative. But I had mentioned before the story about the lady who she would notice something in her room, and little by little it would come to her over a period of time, and then eventually, you know, it was having sex with her. And when she had a reading, you know, it was her husband from another life, and, you know, they were Native American. So that's a whole different experience to what you're talking about. This was a connection that already had.
Good experience. But this was,
a good experience. That's right. A loving experience based on love.
If I'm fighting with it, with my arms actually in the air, like I could feel I was fighting with something, that wasn't good. Yeah.
You know, that's how I try to quantify all spirit interaction is, does it come from a loving place? You know, otherwise I don't try to interact with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
When you're I'm just saying, with an incubus, you just can't help but interact because.
Of course, yeah. That's a violation, you know.
It's
violating.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, but in a lot of ways, a ghost is. I mean, it can be a good spirit, and it can also be an evil spirit, you know, or a wicked spirit, or, like I say, the vast majority of what we call ghosts, then tend to be. Just mischievous. You know, they're not really trying to be overly harmful. They're just relating to a terrestrial world. They do not want to elevate into the heavens or into the next realm. Maybe because they love someone so much here, or maybe because they just didn't want to proceed in the spiritual.
Yeah.
Evolution. I had an experience recently with a friend that this particular person had told me that, and again, this is kind of broad. I don't know if this is exactly evil spirit or ghost or whatever, but I was told that their family had been cursed. And I would see this situation where this particular person was being constantly stymied. They were being, you know, no matter what, they would look like everything was going to go so well and something was going to happen really positive, but instead they would be stymied. So I spoke with a very spiritual person that I consult with a lot around here, and she said to do this affirmation for this person, which was, I am a free spiritual being, sovereign unto myself, and to continue to say that as I envisioned her. And absolutely, within the next time I saw her, her whole aura had changed. Suddenly things were going well, suddenly all this darkness and stymieing of her, you know, her walk of life, suddenly just change. Now, that's kind of an exorcism, and I don't know if that's... I assume that's still ghost, because ghost just happens to be an evil spirit.
Sure. Yeah, the Vatican has, you know, they have
light.
Specialists on staff for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, another issue that I wanted to bring up is interdimensional beings. That seems to be more prevalent. Recently, the government has been releasing documents, archives. There's an FBI archive from July 8, 1947, which talks about interdimensional beings and how their spacecrafts have the ability to materialize and dematerialize in our own dimension. And then if you go on the CIA website, there's also discussions. So, you know, these are all, you know, this isn't something that I made up. This is something that's, you know, coming from the government. These are records that they've held on to that were previously classified top secret. So, you know, the truth is starting to trickle down. So there's a lot that we can't see that's out there floating around.
What do you think about Area 54?
51?
Is that what it is? Area 54 in Nevada. Yeah. I've known 54, people.
Yeah, there's 51 and there's S4. Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, absolutely. There's Charles Hall, who was working there in the 50s. He actually wrote a book about this, how his interaction with the tall whites. Yeah, it was a pretty profound experience, pretty detailed. He went into great detail explaining these beings. Yeah, we'll definitely have to talk about that on another show, but 100%, you know, there's beings that are out there amongst us and interact with our government and you know, and people. And, yeah, this has probably been the biggest secret that our government has held, is the fact that it's out there. You know, and there's a lot of beings that are loving, you know, that basically want to see mankind elevate, and they interact with us. You know,
move both that real quick, but I knew someone who was extremely into this, and this person happened to be on a friendship level with a relative of one of our past presidents, and happened to live in the area. And she was absolutely told confidentially that, yeah, there's definitely things in Area 54 they're not talking about. Do I have it right? It is Area 54, right? I think it is.
Well, there's Area 51 and then there's S4, which I think they call it Area 54.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I have some relatives that are got some pretty good clearances. They obviously, they're not going to go into detail, and not going to spill to me, you know, the secrets, because, you know, they've been kind of held to that level of this clearance. And anyway, also someone who's an ex astronaut, and they've shared with me that definitely, you know, we're not alone.
Yeah. Well, who
but, you know,
that
again, there's only so much that they're allowed to say. And, you know, there's been many people in the past that have died keeping this secret, that have worked for the government, because they've kept this, you know, they don't think humanity is capable of holding these secrets, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
so you're talking
religion.
People, right? There's a movie out by Dr. Greer called Unacknowledged, and what I like about that documentary is that he backs up all of his information by witnesses and actual documents that became unsealed. They were just unsealed documents that had been sealed for, you know, how many years is that? 50? I don't know how long it takes. But they have become unsealed. And so he actually has the government and the military paperwork that shows exactly, you know, talking about the aliens and talking about the spacecraft and the reverse engineering, and, you know, there's the whole world that, you know, area that they house them in. We exchange information.
Right.
And
that's what Charles Hall, where he worked at. They were out there. They would bring their ships in. They'd be here up to 2 years. Yeah. They'd take them to, they take the families to Las Vegas, you know, the older part of Vegas, and the CIA agents would actually go into the casinos and, yeah, they'd set it up so they can go there and play. But, you know, they don't look quite – they look human, I guess, but obviously they're a little bit different. You can actually Google them up, tall whites. And then, if you get a chance to read Charles Hall's book. You know, the issue that I find – I think the same thing with Dr. Greer is that, you know, we have the ability to be able to create and clean this planet and do good things. But the problem is that the governments have wanted technology for weaponry. You know, so you see after the 50s how technology, you know, went up 1,000%. Before that, you know, it wasn't like that. So you can see kind of when the interaction started. And since then, technology has just been off the hook, you know, with what we have. But still, car technology, you know, we're still using oil, we're still using gas. This is what's disturbing. So they put so much emphasis into, like, the secret space program and all these other things, and it doesn't get shared with the public. You know, we're not benefiting in any way except for paying taxes. This is an
Are
issue.
Are you talking
that,
about the shadow government? Is that what you're talking about, the shadow government?
Well, in a sense, yeah, because the shadow government is what, in corporations, is what pushes this whole thing and what maintains the secret that, you know, that we don't have, you know, that they don't pretty much. You know, there's been a major campaign to discredit anybody that comes out and talks about these issues. So that's why it hasn't come out. There's many scientists, for example, that are on board with this, but they would never do that. They would destroy their careers, you know. But then
right.
you see, for example, the ex-prime minister, the ex-defense minister of Canada, he came out and said that he actually was in a meeting in the United States and he actually saw ETs there, and they're very, very real. So, you know, it's all there. It's just a matter of our government. And it's kind of been a soft disclosure. You're starting to see more information that's being let out. You know, it's becoming more, you know, it kind of validates what people think and how people feel. Obviously, people that are going to be, you know, you can show it directly to them and they're not going to believe it. But the fact is that, you know, it's there's plenty of information there to demonstrate that, hey, you know, we're not alone, for sure.
Right, yeah. Right. And people have seen unidentified flying objects that, you know, it's actually hard to dismiss at this point. And I think people are really doing more research, and they're, you know, it's almost hard-pressed, like I said, not to believe that we're the only ones here. We're just a little speck in the Milky Way galaxy, you know, think about how big the universe is. Life anywhere else. I mean, a rover just landed on Mars. How amazing is that? You know, so I definitely look. You have experiences. Why don't you? Are you okay sharing that, Tommy?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So for me, the spirit world and the ET world, to me, there's not much of a difference because, again, if we're these multidimensional beings, you know, we're all kind of here in this physical body, you know, and so the things that are out there that we can't see, whether it be, you know, a spirit, whether it be an ET, you know, to me, it's kind of all the same in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, you have these ETs, for example, that are very elevated beings and they have concern for humanity. You know, you have some that maybe, you know, they have ulterior motives. You know, there's all different types of ETs out there, just like there's all kinds of humans. There's the same thing with ETs. So it's the same thing with spirits, as James mentioned. There's all kinds of different, you know, some that are maybe not necessarily evil, but not necessarily that good. So that's how I kind of interact with everything that's not right in front of me. Is I'll connect with it with energy, and whether it's an ET, and, you know, I'm kind of big on the ET thing because that's kind of where my kind of spiritual background came from. I've always kind of had this connection, you know, where I felt that, you know, that I would meditate. And of course, when I would connect at that level, I would feel something very different. I took a picture once and I could see a being that looked like a kind of like a lion face. I showed my wife. It was pretty cool. And then, often, you know, I would get visitations and not physical, but while I'm sleeping and I'm meditating and, you know, I would get these kind of downloads, and I would just get these sensations that were incredible, these electrical sensations that would go through my body. It was love, but it was very, very powerful. And just kind of reinforcing that, you know, we're not alone. And,
when
you know,
were
I don't know.
I'm sorry. When you were meditating, were you meditating with the intent to connect with them?
Often I do, yeah. But sometimes when it first started, I wasn't. I was just meditating, and I would start to have these kind of interactions. And then, you know, once I said that, you know, we're all one, basically, it was just this kind of feeling of love that would come on. For example, when I feel an energy like a soul, I feel it a certain way. When I feel an energy like an ET, it's very different. It's very strong. It's very powerful. It's like family. It's a whole different sensation altogether. There's times I've been asleep and it's woken me up. You know, this energy that just kind of, you know, goes through my whole body. And, you know, I couldn't be convinced otherwise. I mean, I definitely feel like a deep connection. And I feel like all of us, you know, when we choose to incarnate into this planet, we're either from somewhere, you know, maybe prior Earth, maybe reincarnation. It could be from another planet, from another dimension. You know, I feel that we're all from someplace. You know, some of us are new spirits. Maybe this is our first life, you know, but typically I feel like we're all coming from a different place, you know. And I'll get into that to another topic where you remember that movie Planets of the Third, was that the Steven Spielberg movie of the Third Kind, or what was that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, when they landed up on there, and then at the end of the movie, you see them going into the ship. They're taking humans, and the humans are going back.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? I don't know if you remember. Yeah. Planet. What is that movie called? Anyhow, that was based on Project Serpo, where we actually had an ET that was, I don't know if he was captured, but I think his ship had crashed. So he was here on Earth, and he was trying to make contact to his planet. Eventually he did. So there was 12 humans that ultimately made the trip to Planet Serpo. And there was 12, you know, different kinds, different specialists. They took 90 tons of gear. One died on the way, one died that was there. And so these beings, they're responsible in the universe for creating life, for creating plants, for creating different things. So they had taken the one that died there, they had taken his body and they used it for different things. And the humans were really upset with this because they couldn't understand, you know, why would you do that? But, you know, this is what they do in the universe. They have a responsibility to create new life, different types of forms. So on this planet, there was two suns. Initially, the humans that lived there, they really had a hard time. It was very hot, so they kind of moved to another part of the planet. And they were supposed to be there for 10 years, but they actually stayed for 12. It was hard to keep track of time. And then eventually, you know, of course, they came home. And I think the last one died in 2002. But it's an interesting story, and we'll talk about this fully on another show. We'll go over the book. But again, this was based on a true story. So, yeah. And then we have other situations, you know, there was Valiant Thor. This was in the 50s. He had come to he wanted to meet with President Eisenhower. And this was when Eisenhower actually he said he was going to go to get his tooth pulled or something. But ultimately, he was meeting with Valiant Thor. And you could actually look, you can Google up Valiant Thor. Anyway, they wanted to offer technology to help heal our planet. But again, you know, the humans, they wanted something that was, you know, aggressive for weapons. So he didn't give them that technology. But, you know, there's plenty of documented cases that are more relevant like this that demonstrates that, again, we're not alone, you know. You could always try to discredit something but like I said, you know, now the government is actually releasing CIA documents. You can actually go to the CIA website, look in their archives, just type in UFOs, and you'll see a lot of records that are starting to be released. So, right. In this day and time, I don't understand how anybody couldn't believe, you know?
Right. Especially with the CIA website, that there's actually empirical evidence. There's evidence-based data. That's what I like. Mm-hmm. Evidence-based data. So,
sure.
Yeah, with the UFOs, and it's out there. It's just out there.
Yeah.
And
well, keep in mind, also, there was a major discredit campaign for many, many, many years. You know, they would, anybody that came out, they try to discredit right away. You know, that's, and they've done a great job at that. So,
right. So they would have, you know, just making fun of UFOs and
or people that come up with something. Yeah,
right.
Kelly, who was he was in charge of Northrop, and the, you know, the programs there, the top secret programs. Before he died, he also said, you know, we have the technology to take E.T. home. And that's his – he obviously didn't say much more beyond that. But, you know, that's pretty much, you know, if you read between the lines, clearly, you know, we're there. So that's why I kind of laugh now at this new space program that they're putting out. To me, that's more of a PR stunt because the space program has already been in place. So
what
– but
What are you talking about?
So I don't know if you saw that we actually have it's a new military. It's a new military branch. It's the Space Command. It's you know, we have, for example, the Marines, you know, the Navy, we have the Army. Now they created this new branch that's called the Space Command, which I really don't know what its function is. But, you know, they show them doing push-ups and some goofy stuff, but I don't know, you know, again, we're much farther advanced than what they're kind of leading on to. So for me, I feel like it was just something just to kind of prepare people as, you know, as disclosure is coming, you know.
So that's interesting. So much to look up here.
Yeah. I wanted to ask James, though, you know, you mentioned before you were in these old buildings, 200-year-old taverns.
Yes.
I wanted to see what kind of experience, any kind of energy that you felt in there.
Well, I mean, you do it. You feel it as soon as you walk in there, pretty much. In fact, I happened to grow up in a home that was built in 1720. And, you know, I really never felt it. I thought it was a pretty clean home. I mean, I was there until I was in my mid-20s, I guess. And I never felt like there was anything too much there. But my mother said when I was a little boy, I would see her out in the hallway and I'd say, "Mom, what is that behind you? Who is that behind you?"
Wow. So you lived in a home that was built in 1700s?
1720.
I find that amazing.
In fact, it might
I'm from California where they bulldoze everything. So that is so cool.
It could have even been before that because they weren't sure. There was a cornerstone that said RB 1720. We had the Chester County historian try to research the deed, and he couldn't get past that. But some people would say that meant rebuilt in 1720. We had the oldest home in the county where I lived, which is Chester County. Kathy knows all about Chester County. The oldest home was built in like 1686, and that was like 2 miles down the road. So like I say, it could have very well been even older than that. But the interesting thing about it was, I mean, I just felt like whoever had lived there in all those many generations, they just had very good lives. They didn't have any traumas that would lead a ghost to stay there. You know, so that's what you feel it. You feel it in the taverns because taverns were social locations, and they were also, at least during the Revolutionary War, they would have been places where they would have taken injured soldiers and, you know,
and the spirits that like to hang out with alcohol. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true too. But, you know, it was kind of interesting too because, you know, as an artist, I deal with, well, they're not really ghosts, but there are times that I have done like a portrait of a very, only once or twice. It's not normally what I do. Even if I have a model, and that model happens to be hundreds of miles away or thousands of miles away, and I get a photograph from that model, and that model knows that I'm going to be painting that her or him, but it's her, then I get their vibration. You know, I definitely get that vibration. It works through my artwork. The one case that I did do a celebrity, and I don't want to tell you about it too much because, you know, every artist in the world has always wanted to paint this particular icon.
Sure.
But, well, it happened to be Marilyn Monroe. But, you know, I did that painting in literally an hour, 2 hours. Normally when I do a portrait of any kind, even a very sketchy portrait, even a more, you know, impressionistic portrait, it's going to take me 7, 8, 10 hours at least, you know, before I really get the semblance, before I really get the visage the way that I want it. But there's, you know, and I, I had another friend who was an artist, who is an artist, and it's kind of funny because she was never of the, I mean, she was spiritual, but never of the interest in ghosts or anything like that. But she actually wrote a paper where she talked about, you know, when she would do her painting, that she would be acting as a medium. And I have just no doubt about that. I mean, there are times, I mean, not every painting I do, you know, really takes off, really has that light to it, really has that, you know, really engaging quality to it, but most do, and there's no doubt in my mind that there's spiritual energy working in that.
Absolutely.
I don't doubt that at all. But so, at any rate, spirit, I would like people, if they hear anything, it's that most of the time, ghosts are not something to be, you know, I mean, they're always going to, if you're not really familiar with the psychic world or the spiritual mm-hmm. world, yeah, your hair is going to go up in the back of your head. But they, in most cases, they don't really mean harm. Now, if you've got bad karma with them, yeah, they might really mean harm. But in general, they just don't want to leave this place. They either have loved ones, like Kathy was discussing, or they just love the this world. One last thing, and then I don't know if you wanted to take it's almost over.
I agree. You know, the physical plane. You know, there's things that you have here that you don't have on the other side. You know, pizza, for example, or doing certain activities. You know, it's very appealing on this side. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I think that many times, too, with, we talk about Gettysburg or, you know, these historical places, sometimes with battlefields, there's that sudden death, right? And so there's confused what's going on, right?
Right.
I think that there's a business as well,
Yeah, well, look at 9/11. After 9/11, they would drop dimes. There's pictures. Actually, I had posted a picture in the chat section of dimes. You know, it was in a picture of in a shape of a heart. You know, spirits were doing this for their loved ones. You know, interacting. You know, that's pretty amazing.
Right.
You know, that's coming from a place of love, obviously.
So, obviously.
You know, another thing is, and Catherine can relate to this too. You definitely feel that at Valley Forge. You can feel the anguish that the soldiers went through. Again, Valley Forge was only, 6 or 7 miles from where I grew up. And, wow, I mean, it is such a sacred land. And, you just feel it so sweet. Oh, okay. And real quick, I just found this. The movie you were talking about was Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
There you go. Third kind. Thank you.
But did anybody have any questions?
The last 2 minutes of the show. Thank you.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to start wrapping up, though, because we have 2 minutes.
Yeah, I have a minute left. 1 minute.
Yeah. So thank you, everyone. It was a great show.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
There's
so
much you could have talked about. And thank you, James. I always appreciate you being on. I've gotten used to having James here. So. Thanks.
I really enjoy it. And it's so enlightening. And I just hope you get some, I don't know if I hope we get some nice letters back, or I don't know if did anybody call in or emails or?
No.
Nobody. Yeah.
No, you.
Okay.
But
okay.
So we're gonna have some interesting shows coming up here in the near future. I want to do a show on Bigfoot. I think that'd be fun. There's a lot of good information.